What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be recapping the trade deadline, and there won't be too much to recap because I sort of already talked about the only move that Washington made. But we're also going to be recapping another win for the Washington Wizards. This one, much different than the last one they had over the Kings, not in terms of how they got there, but in terms of the opponent and what they were playing for. They went into Detroit against the number one seed in the East in the Pistons, a team that had some injuries but was relatively healthy, and somehow with 10 guys that were available for them, found a way to win this game. They didn't want to win it. They did everything they could, like they did against Sacramento, to lose this game, and they still somehow found a way to win. And I'm going to be here like I'm always here to break it down for you and recap the game and sort of share my thoughts. Well, Riley popped for a career high 20 points. Sharif Cooper, career high 18 points. They were nails down the stretch and were the reason the Wizards won this game. Bilal Coulibaly made some ridiculous shots. And despite the Wizards resting really four of their five starters for the better part of the second half, again, they still somehow found a way to win. And we're going to be here to break it all down. But final score, Washington 126. Detroit 117. I want to start real quick with some trade deadline stuff. Obviously, it came and went. It was at 3 p.m. today on Thursday by the time I'm recording this. The Wizards made the trade for Anthony Davis. If you want to hear my thoughts on the trade, just go to the latest YouTube video or to the latest pod on Apple or Spotify, and you can hear 36, 37 minutes of my unfiltered thoughts on the AD trade. There's also a Twitter Spaces on my Twitter profile, Greg Finberg, if you want to check that out. About 1 hour 20 of me and other Wiz fans giving our takes and thoughts on the trade. A couple of things. AD will wear number 23 for the Wizards, and that's according to Chris Miller on Washington's broadcast. It became official during the game. I think during the first or second quarter of the game, the trade is now official. And obviously, you know, the Wizards feel very comfortable, feel very confident in the fact they're adding Anthony Davis, you know, 10-time All-Star and all that. And Will Dawkins put out a statement when they made it official, and I'm going to read that out for you in case you missed it. He said, quote, "Anthony Davis is one of the most accomplished players of this generation, and we are thrilled to have him in Washington. Anthony's championship-level experience and defensive pedigree bring a new level of opportunity and excitement to this franchise," end quote. Again, like, it's pretty generic GM speak. But at the end of the day, like, Will Dawkins is probably ecstatic about it. And he's the one that pulled the trigger and made the trade. And so those are a couple of things about Davis. Obviously, I doubt he plays much when he gets to DC. But they still got Exum, who's out for the season, expiring contract. He'll probably walk. Jaden Hardy, 23 years old, under contract for this year, next year, and a team option the following year. Maybe he's something intriguing, you know, certainly something to look into. And then D'Angelo Russell, probably not a part of this future, but he is under contract with a $5.9 million player option for next season. The Wizards didn't do anything else. You know, they made no other moves. They didn't really have to. This was the big move that they made. And I think they got better. You know, you could argue that they added one of the better players at the deadline this year. I think probably Jaren Jackson Jr. is a more high profile and probably at this stage of his career, better player than Anthony Davis, but maybe AD is the second best player that was acquired. And it's funny that those two guys went to two of the NBA's rebuilding or tanking teams this season. But I mean, apart from that, with AD, there's not really much to talk about trade deadline wise. And if you want my thoughts again, the previous pod does a good job of breaking that trade down. Moving into this game, like I mentioned for Washington, again, like, they had 10 available players. You know, obviously the four that they got from Dallas weren't available. No Trey Johnson, Trae Young, or Cam Whitmore. Obviously, they've been out with injuries. And then Scala BCA, who's still on a 10-day contract, is with the Go-Go on assignment. And so they had 10 guys, the Wizards did. And realistically, they played them all. But in the beginning, it was their starters and their bench, and they grew a huge lead in the first half. It was 51 to 31. Champagne had 9 points and 6 boards in his first like 7 or 8 minute stint. Alex Saar had 7 points, 5 rebounds. The Wizards were up 20, and then you add a huge run, 21-5, I think, from Detroit to cut it to 4 at halftime. 14-2 run for the Wizards in the third quarter. Detroit again storms back. It was a game of runs, as the NBA and as basketball typically, you know, is. But you know, Champagne and Sarr were sort of those dominant figures for the Wizards in the first half, and were a reason that they were leading at halftime. But again, like the Wizards showcased that they are blatantly tanking. They did it against Sacramento, where you know they took most all of their starters actually against Sacramento out for really the remaining 18 plus minutes of that game, and ended up winning somehow despite their best efforts to lose. They closed with their bench unit, even though it wasn't like their bench unit was the team that the unit that rallied and brought them back, and they still found a way to win. Did they do everything they could to win the game? No, and they still found a way to win. And they put out the exact same strategy tonight against the Pistons. Like they were winning for you know a decent bit. Their starters were playing great. There's no reason, you know, based on merit and based on trying to win the game. To remove your starters, not only that early in the third quarter, because they sat them very early. I think, you know, by the 7 minute mark in the third quarter, every single player had come out of the game that was starting, I think, except Bilal Coulibaly, and they didn't return. Like Keyshawn George, Alex Sarr, Bob Carrington, and Justin Champagne, by the 7:01 mark of the third quarter, were on the bench and didn't return for the final 19 minutes of this game. Bilal Coulibaly played 36 minutes. I don't know what the reason for it was. Maybe they were just shorthanded and had to play someone like that. But he w was a guy that was playing, you know, with that second unit down the stretch. But the Wizards didn't want to win this game. They tried everything they can, like legally slash I don't even want to say ethically because this was not an ethical tanking move, but legally, I guess, to try to like pretend we're trying to win this game, but everyone knows we're realistically trying to lose. And yet they still found a way. Like Detroit did not want this game. The Wizards played well down the stretch. They couldn't miss a shot at the end when it mattered and when Detroit really needed them to miss. But the Pistons didn't want it. Like they tried to force their way with Cade. He got a couple calls that I thought were a little ridiculous, but even he couldn't put the team on his back like he did a couple of months ago when the Wizards blew that lead. And they did that with their starters in that game. They blew that big lead when you thought there was no way that they could blow the game, they did. And even tonight, despite Cade trying to, you know, carry his team, despite some other buckets from Sar Thompson and others, and Duncan Robinson, like Detroit just didn't have enough against the backups to the backups in Washington, a team that only had 10 available players tonight, and they found a way to win. And yes, I'm obviously saying some bad things about the Detroit team that's first in the East, and they looked awful tonight. Couldn't do anything, but the Wizards also couldn't miss. Will Riley, career high 20 points, and the way he got it, like some like in rhythm threes off catch and shoot opportunities. I think he was 2 of 5 from three, which is great because I think that's a role he's probably gonna play. But with the ball in his hands, he was sort of facilitating alongside Treif Cooper with that second unit. A couple buckets down the stretch where he just has really a really good pivot, really good footwork and patience when he's in the lane. A couple plays where he just got a guy on his hip, got fouled, a little push shot in the lane, made a couple of those, was able to pretty easily get to the rim. He found his teammates. I think he had, I think 6 assists and 4 rebounds. So again, showcasing that he can play on ball, he can play point guard with that second unit, while he also can play off ball. And when you find him on the open on the perimeter, he's able to make a defense pay and knock down an open look from deep. Like he showcased all of that tonight. It was a plus 13. Like this is now the fourth game in a row in double figures for Will Riley. I think he had a career high 18 points in that last game, and 13 two games ago, then I think 15 the game before that. Like he's starting to figure it out. He's starting to grow. And yes, like the Wizards losing this game, we'll get to that in a second. It's not catastrophic for the tank, but it's definitely not what you wanted if you're a Wizards fan rooting for the tank and understanding that they need to keep their pick in a good draft class. But when it happens in games and efforts like this, where like they did everything that they could, like they're trying to hand these games to the opponent, they can't make the opponent take and accept the win. They couldn't do it with Sacramento. They somehow couldn't do it tonight with the Detroit team that's actually trying to win the games and maintain that number one seed standing in the East. They can't go out there and they can go out there and hand it to them, but they can't grab it for them. And that was the case tonight. And if you're a Wizards fan, like you can't really be mad at the process. Like they're trying to do everything, and most of the time, I think it'll probably result in a hard fought loss. Like it probably should have the last 2 times. But they can only do so much. So, like, I'm obviously concerned, like, slightly now, but I'm not mad or disappointed at certainly at the effort. I mean, the effort was awesome. You had a team that bought in and played harder, that is trying to lose than the team that's actively trying to hold on to the number one seed in your conference on the road. Like, that's pretty impressive for them to do. Shout out Brian Keefe because, you know, look at what he's working with. He's not able to play his best players when he needs to, and he's still finding ways to get these guys to buy in, to rally, to win games. You know, he's caught a lot of flack this year, but I think specifically this game, you got to give him a lot of credit. I know Wizards fans, this is the last thing you guys want to hear, but I mean, at least it was an effort where, well, Riley played really well. You know, when in the past it was, you know, CJ McCollum and Chris Middleton were the reason. So I guess hold your head up high. But Will Riley was nails. He was so good down the stretch, made some clutch buckets. I think it was 101-97 Detroit cut the lead to with behind Cade just making some crazy shots. Big three from Will Riley to make it a 7-point lead. And so, you know, some timely buckets from him. Thought it was, I mean, clearly his best game as a pro. You can make an argument the last four games have all been his best games as a pro, which is nice to see him starting to stack those games and gain some confidence. You can't really talk about him without talking about Sharif Cooper. He's the smallest guy on the floor. I mean, I think he's 5'10", 5'11", maybe even smaller, but he gets to his spots, man. I mean, he made a big three at the end of the third quarter. I mean, from like half court, I can't believe he made it. But he made another one late in the game. Will Riley saved the ball right to Cooper, or I think Dallas saved the ball to Riley, not Dallas. Detroit saved the ball to Riley, who passed it to Cooper. Sidestep three extends that lead from I think 6 to 9 with about 2 minutes left. Got to the bucket for a layup as well. You know, just made a lot of big time plays down the stretch. There was one in particular where he kind of got blitzed on a pick. Didn't panic, but it was behind the back, but behind the back between the legs, like in one motion. Got between the defenders and then threw a lob to Bilal, who threw it down. There were a couple plays like that where he just showcased he's small, but he's twitchy, he's shifty, and he's quick. He can get by guys, he can get to his spots. That's where he's gonna make his mark in the league. And I really thought he looked good. He didn't just look good because of the role that he's in or the low expectations that most have for him. I genuinely thought he impacted the game and impacted the pace of play, made some big shots down the stretch, and really led the second unit for the final 17, 18 minutes of this game. So I really enjoyed what I saw from Sharif. He's on a two-way contract trying to make his way in this league. I know he's friends with Trae Young, but you know, he's trying to fight for a roster spot next year. And you got to be happy and respect a guy that performs like that and plays as hard as he did. Got into it a couple of times with Ron Holland. You know, clearly won't back down from a fight. And so you got to be happy for him and respect, you know, the game that him and Will Riley put together towards the end. It's so funny with Bilal. Like, Bilal, again, was the only starter that played down the stretch. 36 minutes, I think, for him tonight. And he wasn't that bad. I mean, defensively, he was pretty good. I don't know how many steals he finished with. I can fact check that right now. I think he only finished with one, I guess. Excuse me, but 11 points on 4 of 12 from the field, 5 boards, 4 assists. Again, like, not bad. There were 3 turnovers offensively, and I remember distinctively all 3 turnovers being really bad turnovers, unforced errors. Just can't happen for a guy in his third year in the league. He also made only one of his 4 threes, and I think you know what I'm getting at here if you watch the game. It's unbelievable how Bilal Coulibaly couldn't buy an open 3 to save his life. And then the biggest piece of bullshit I've ever seen, towards the end of the game, I think there's like a minute or two left. It's a grenade. It's working its way around the perimeter. No Wizards player wants to shoot this ball. And Bilal, defender draped on him, just throws up a heave. And I knew it was going in. I think you all knew it was going in. Because when you want Bilal Coulibaly to make a three, he can't do it. For the most part, he can't. He's sub 30% from three. This isn't me even being harsh. This is just statistically, he's probably not going to be able to make it. Fast forward to tonight, and most Wizards fans see him shoot that and they go, please no. Please do not go in. Because it was a close game. Detroit's sort of working their way back. and he makes it somehow. And it's funny because when you were like, if you're the you know the Wizards and you know like you're when they were trying to win games, you always remember that backbreaker three off glass that was the biggest piece of BS that would go in against the Wizards. It felt like clockwork that it would. And now it's funny to see it from the other side. Like if I'm a Pistons fan, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. First the Sharif shot at the end of the third, and then you got that Bilal shot there. He made a mid-range. When's the last time you saw a Bilal Coulibaly step into a rhythm mid-range jumper and drill it? And he, of course, does that and then makes the crazy three when you got most Wizards fans rooting against the team. I mean, just pretty crazy sequence throughout the entire game, but wild that the Wizards were able to come in here, play the rotations they did, and clearly try their best to, I don't want to say not win this game, but they certainly didn't throw out their starters for nothing. You know, they didn't just bench them because they were playing bad. They were playing good. Champagne is a plus 16 in this game. All of the starters apart from him were between a plus two and a negative one. Like, they weren't the problem. They weren't bad. The team was actually playing very well with both the bench and the starting lineup. But obviously, they decided to go with the bench. And, like, yeah, it worked. I don't know how, but it worked. But it doesn't change the fact that, yes, they tried to lose the game by not playing their starters. And I don't know. They found another way to win. I mean, it brings me to. Another, I mean, Tristan Vukcevic had 14 points on 5 of 7, made 3 of his 4 threes again. I thought, I mean, he had 2 blocks, and I didn't think he was terrible tonight. Like, I'm not seeing the defense where I'm like, wow, it's on a nightly basis, but I didn't think he was particularly that bad on the defensive end, and they really couldn't check him offensively. I mean, he got into the lane, he had a couple nice decel moves into floaters, an and one. 3 of his 4 threes, his jumper looks smooth. I really didn't mind this game from Tristan. And typically, if you're on the pod, like you hear me, it's sort of like one foot in the door, one foot out. I like his offense, I hate his defense, and that's sort of what you get. I didn't hate his defense. I liked the blocks. I liked the overall, you know, interior defense that he was able to provide, and the offense sort of matched what he typically provides, and efficient at that. I actually thought he played some really good minutes off the bench and down the stretch. I didn't mind it. Jameer was some great defense. He had a couple open threes that weren't that close. Obviously, that's got to be better, but a plus eight, you know, is a plus eight. And again, one steal, one block, made it pretty hard for Cade. And Cade made some shots over him. I mean, it's a rookie versus an all-NBA player. But they were tough fadeaways, and Jameer did everything he could, so I don't think he should put his head down there. I again, Anthony Gill plus 7, big 11 points for him. 3 boards, 2 assists. He actually provided some great minutes. He had 3 steals, which was a team high. Like, it's so funny how like these players are probably not going to be part of what Washington's building. And by that, I'm talking about a guy like Gill and probably even a guy like Sharif Cooper. Not really talking about the other three. But they come in here and they ball out and they show like, yeah, we should be here, and we know that we're fighting for maybe our NBA careers and NBA lives. And again, like, it sucks that the Wizards lost or won this game because of the tank, but you got to be happy for a lot of the guys that contributed to this win here. I mean, the Wizards have now, I think, won 4 of their last 6 games. They are 14-36, 1-0. Fun fact, 1-0 in the Anthony Davis era. But that brings me to the tank standings. And again, I've told you guys not to stress most of the season. And I think I was right to do so, to say not to stress. But I think at this point, it's fair to start. I don't want to call for an all-out panic. But, like, the Wizards are trying to lose games. And, like, they can't lose the games that they're trying to lose. They're 14-36. They are now one game worse, in the or better, I guess, technically in the loss in the win column, than Brooklyn, Indiana, and New Orleans, and then 2 games better in the win column than Sacramento, who's at 12 wins. Currently 3 games separated from the worst record in the league. But if the season ended today, I think for the first time, maybe all season, if the season ended today, then they wouldn't guarantee that they keep their pick. And I mean, Utah at 16 wins also wouldn't guarantee it because they are the similar situation, top 8 protected pick. If not, it goes to OKC. And so obviously it's not the greatest spot for Washington to be in tank wise, but what keeps me sane and what is kind of, causing me to not hit the panic button yet in terms of the tank is like it's pretty clear what their motive and intentions are. They're not going to play Trae Young. I doubt they will. They're definitely not going to play Anthony Davis. That would be so surprising to me. They're going to be cautious with anybody like Trey Johnson, obviously, who gets injured because they can and because it helps them lose. And they're probably going to play their starters pretty, sporadic and sparing minutes over the course of the final 32 games. And it's because they know they need to keep their pick. They know they need to lose a lot of games. It's not like they're really going in and attacking and trying their best to win these games. They're clearly not based on their rotations. I mean, they're sitting their starters for most of, if not all of the second half, because they're trying to do this tanking thing sort of ethically, but they're trying to lose games. It's not their fault that these teams don't want to win, because they're trying to hand it to them. And that's what's keeping me sane and not panicking here is like they know the assignment. I think it'll even itself out. I think they've gotten a little unlucky on that end the last two games. Gotten some generational performances from some of their own players they probably didn't expect either. But nonetheless, I think it's not time to panic, but if you're concerned, then by all means you should be, because the Wizards want to guarantee that they would keep their pick, and at the moment they're not, and so I can't really sit here like I had in the past and say you shouldn't be concerned. I wouldn't panic, and I think it'll even itself out. But if you're concerned, then sure, that's fine. But that's probably gonna wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards podcast. The Washington Wizards have won 4 of 6. They are 14-36, career high from Will Riley, career high from Sharif Cooper, all really good stuff in terms of their individual growth and development. Not necessarily good for the tank, but 32 games left. I don't think you should panic. I think it'll all work itself out for the Washington Wizards, who now have Anthony Davis, by the way. Doubt he'll play this year, but a trade deadline was today, and they didn't do anything else, but obviously they added him yesterday, and so that's gonna wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Wizards win 126 to 117 over the Detroit Pistons. They are 14-36. And I believe, if I'm looking at their schedule correctly, their next game is at Brooklyn on the 7th. You got the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. That's a little appetizer for it. That's Saturday at 3 p.m. at Brooklyn. It's a big matchup. The real winner will be the loser of that one, which is sad to say, but it's true. And obviously, I'll be back, I believe, to recap that one on Saturday for you guys, as I always am. So, again, thanks for listening, as always. Appreciate all the support throughout the trade deadline. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards Podcast. Thanks for listening, as always. Go Wiz.